Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. An Ka'ab ibn Ujrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uhdhurul minbar, fahadharna, falamma artaqad darajatan qala amin, falamma artaqad darajata thaniyata qala amin, falamma artaqad darajata thalithata qala amin, falamma nazala qulna ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laqad sami'na minkal yawma shay'a, ma kunna nasma'u, qala inna Jibra'ila arada li faqala ba'uda man adraka ramadana falam yughfar lahu qala amin ila akhiril hadith rawahul Bukhari wa Tirmidhi wa Baihaqi. Respected brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal chooses times and places sometimes for specific things. And because of the short lifespan of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has blessed us with some very auspicious occasions whereby we need to benefit, we need to take advantage of. And the month of Ramadan is one of those occasions. In a hadith narrated by Al-Aghar Al-Muzani radiallahu ta'ala an, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I seek Allah's forgiveness on a daily basis 100 times. I seek Allah's forgiveness daily 100 times. This is the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was masoom, innocent. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam who did not commit any sin. And he is seeking Allah's forgiveness daily 100 times. The hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. On a daily basis, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously throughout the day seeking Allah's forgiveness. The Rasul being innocent, and even if perchance, because he was human, even if perchance he was to err, by accident, by mistake, he was to do something wrong, even if. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, in Surah Fath, in the Quran, announced and made clear that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be forgiven. He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, liyaghfir Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. That Allah Azza wa Jal would forgive all your sins, the past and the present. This is the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innocent. And yet still with the promise of Allah that if you do by mistake or by chance being a human being, if you do commit a sin, then I would forgive you. Whether it is now or whether it is in the future, I am going to forgive you. And this same Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that he made astaghfar 100 times daily. Allah already announced his forgiveness. He's forgiven. He's masoom. He won't commit sin. And yet still, notwithstanding the fact that Allah had forgiven him past, present and future, yet still the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah's forgiveness 100 times daily. My dear brothers and sisters, let us understand something about 100 times. You have other hadiths that speak about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam making forgiveness daily 70 times. These are just numbers, the muhaddiseen have explained to us, that these are just numbers that are used in order to show the amount of times that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make forgiveness. And it is not that you sit with a tasbih and you make 100 times astaghfar and that is the end of it. No. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the day, he would keep asking Allah for forgiveness. Throughout the day. In the hadith, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the reason why he asked Allah's forgiveness. And he says in the hadith, la yughanu ala qalbi, that sometimes a cloud forms over my heart. Sometimes a cloud forms over my heart. A cloud in the form of a suspicion of a sin. Not a sin, just the thought or the suspicion of a sin. A whispering comes in my heart. And because of that, I seek Allah's forgiveness. Not the committing of the sin. Understand clearly, it is not the committing of the sin. But the thought, the idea, it just like it overtakes me. And that thought, we are all human beings. We know what we are speaking of. Right? That whispering of shaitan. Remember, shaitan sits on the heart. He sits on the heart like a mahawa mosquito sits on your skin, ready to bite and ready to suck your blood. Shaitan sits on your heart, ready to inject his poison. Ready to inject the poison. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying here, la yaghanu ala qalbi, that this cloud, this suspicion, it forms over my heart. This whispering just comes. And because of that, whenever this happens, anytime I keep seeking Allah's forgiveness. I keep seeking Allah's forgiveness. Understand, my dear brothers and sisters, that you could be how big a wali, you could be how big a saint, you could be how big a prophet. This cloud-like feeling that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about is something that is going to affect all of us. That suspicion of sin, that whispering of the shaitan is always going to keep coming over our hearts. This is something that we have to deal with all the time. Let us look at the case of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. In his time, the queen, Zulaikha, as you know, he was tempted. She wanted to induce him, right? What did the Quran says about it? وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Right? That the invitation is, it is not that he didn't have feelings. She had feelings for him and he had feelings for her as well. So it is not like he didn't have no feelings at all. You know, sometimes a woman is attracted, or a man is attracted to a woman, but the opposite party has no interest. This is not the case. The Quran is telling us clearly that he had feelings for her and she had feelings for him. But yet still it was of the mercy of Allah that put. So the point that I am making, the mercy of Allah is what protected him. The point that I am making, that even him who was a prophet, even him who, Yusuf alayhi salam, who was a prophet, yet still that inclination, that whispering, that thought of committing something wrong passes over our hearts. Passes over our hearts. And they were great people. They were the type of people, and the saints and the walis and the friends of Allah, the type of people who, when this whispering comes over them, they are able to ward it off, they are able to fight it off. We fall prey. We fall prey to the things that happen, that the whisperings of shaitan that come to us, we fall prey to them. Allah Azza wa Jal created man, and he created man, in man, the urge and the temptation to commit sin. That urge to commit sin is within man. It is not something that is an exterior something that comes into man. No, this, we are created with that. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Ash-Shams, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, that Allah Azza wa Jal inspired our nafs and inspired us with what is wrong for it and what is right for it. Right? In other words, the ability to do wrong and the ability to do right was created with us. We have a choice. And it is because of this choice that a human being has that the Jannah was created. It is because of this choice that a human being has that the Jannah, the paradise, was created for man. If it was no choice, or if we were created like the angels, they cannot even consider, forget doing any evil, the angels cannot even consider evil. The thought of committing a sin doesn't even cross over them. That is why they are not deserving of Jannah. But the human being, on the other hand, the temptation, having to fight off on this constant upstream battle that we have against our nafs and against shaitan, and when we fight it off, it is what makes us deserving of the Jannah. That is why Allah has created the paradise for those people who fear Him. They have the fear and the consciousness of Allah. They fear the horrors of the day of judgment. And because of all of this fear, they refuse to obey their nafs and they refuse to obey shaitan. And when we do this, then we become deserving of the Jannah that Allah has prepared for us. We inculcate the fear of Allah within ourselves. We know of the horrors of the day of judgment and the punishment that lies in the grave. We know of these things. We keep these things in front of us. And then we say, oh Allah, even though I am tempted, even though I have the ability to commit a sin, I am not going to commit this sin. I am not going to commit this sin. My dear brothers and sisters, Sheikh Saadi, who was a Persian poet, he puts it very nicely in a Persian poet. It says that it is quite easy to understand that a very dangerous, a very fierce, the most dangerous and the most feared animal, like a lion, that when it becomes old and feeble, that it becomes righteous. That is very easy to understand. He no longer has the ability. He's no longer the leader of the pack. He no longer calls the shots. That strength that he has, that vigor that he has, that the lion has when he is young and he's the leader of the pack, he don't have it anymore. He has lost it. He has become old and feeble, and other animals are now biting him up and all of that, and you see him one side losing his teeth and all of that. It is very easy for him to say that, okay, look, I'm not going to kill anymore. I am not going to kill anymore. Very easy. Why? Because he hasn't got the ability to kill. Probably if he tried to go and run along some animals, they might run him over and he might get trampled. So it is very easy for when a person becomes old and he is weak and now feeble, that he sits with his tasbih and he makes the dhikr of Allah. It is very easy, and he has no thoughts about committing adultery. And his gaze is now focused. He's not looking at anything. That is very easy. Because now the ability to commit sin in that individual is diminished. To commit these sins is diminished. Like the old lion or the old wolf. Cannot kill anymore. But the characteristics that the Rasuls, that the prophets of Allah, that the saints, the walis and the friends of Allah have, is that when they are young, when the hormones are raging in our body, 15, 16, 20, 25, and the hormones are raging in your body, and you have all the vigor and all the strength, and none of the least care in the world about the consequences of the action. To control our passion, to control our lust in this time, at that time when it is most raging in the body, is what the characteristics of the prophets of Allah and the saints and the friends of Allah had. This is characteristics that we have to try to acquire. Not that when we become, we no longer have the ability to give, or we no longer have the ability to do something wrong, then we say, okay, you know, well, I'm not doing this. If a blind man says that, you know, I protect my eyes, I don't want to commit any zina with the eyes, don't want to look at no television and no nakedness and all that kind of thing. Or a deaf man says that, okay, look, I'm not listening to any music. What? That is nothing. You cannot listen. You cannot see. So there is no plus for you in a situation like that, because you cannot do it. However, when Allah has blessed us with that faculty of seeing, the faculty of doing things, and our bodies are strong and healthy, and we could do many things, and the temptation of the shaitan is there, and the peer pressure from our friends and the others like ours in our classes and our gatherings, the peer pressure to light a cigarette and take a smoke and do this and do the other, or to go to a party, or what is wrong with you. When that peer pressure comes on us, we must be strong enough to say that I fear Allah, that Allah has given me the strength. Strength comes from Allah. La quwwata illa billah. That there is no strength except, no strength to do good. There is no strength to refrain from evil except with Allah. I am going to utilize my strength for doing good. That temptation is something that we have to fight till we die. That temptation is something that we have to fight till we die. It is not like when we become old, all the temptations are done. No, shaitan is going to come to us, and he's going to tempt us in different means. He's going to find other ways to tempt us when we become old, when we become sick. Shaitan is going to find different ways to tempt us, to lead us, to take away from what Allah wants us to do. Remember, that is shaitan's work. His work is what? His work is always try to deceive mankind of the blessings that he could get, to take him away from the path to Jannah. So sometimes a man might be doing something good, he might be praying, and it could be a lure from Shaitan. Praying, listen to me, you are praying, but it is really a deceiving thing from Shaitan. You feel that you are doing something good, but it is actually a deception from Shaitan. Let me quote an incident for you that is narrated by Imam Muslim. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and one of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a person who used to always pray his tahajjud salah. One night, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and slept away, and he did not pray his tahajjud salah. The next day, throughout the day, he was so hurt, he had so much a remorse, that he kept begging Allah for forgiveness, that, oh Allah, you know, every night I pray my tahajjud, here it is, I slept away, Allah, how could you forgive me? I have become my shortcomings, that, you know, the weakness in me, that I allowed sleep to overtake me, and he begged, and he begged, and he begged, and he begged. Right. Next morning, time for tahajjud salah, somebody come and wake him up for tahajjud salah the next morning. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala got up with urgency, and before the person could leave, he stopped him. And he asked him, well, who are you? The person was very hesitant to say who he was. But upon the insisting of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and he disclosed his identity. He says that I am Shaitan. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was surprised. Shaitan coming to wake me up for tahajjud in the morning? What is wrong? So then Shaitan explained to him, he says that the amount that you wept and the amount of remorse and pity that you have for the missing of your tahajjud salah, you raise your status higher in the sight of Allah than praying the tahajjud salah. So better you pray the tahajjud. Better you pray that tahajjud salah. Because the amount of remorse that you show, the amount that you repented before Allah, the amount you begged before Allah, raised your status and you became closer and nearer to Allah than praying the tahajjud salah, so it's better you get up and pray your tahajjud salah. So like this, Shaitan sometimes deceives us and makes us feel that we are doing something good, when in fact it is because there is something better that we could do. And he's only using it that, okay, now is the time to come and do this. The month of Ramadan, for example. During this month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is made for direct worship. Understand this point. The month of Ramadan was created by Allah for what? For direct worship. What is direct worship? My dear brothers and sisters, if a man goes out and he earns an honest living, for the purpose, in the manner which the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, for the purpose of feeding his family, for the purpose of putting a shelter over the head, clothing them, then that is ibadah. That is ibadah. If a man puts a morsel of food in his wife's mouth, that is also ibadah. If a man eats in accordance with the Sharia, that is ibadah. His intention is good. If a man has intimacy with his wife, in the manner that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, for good reasons, that is ibadah. All of that is ibadah. But the month of Ramadan was created for direct ibadah. That ibadah that has nothing ulterior to gain except closeness to Allah, except the worship of Allah, the month of Ramadan is created. That is why many of our akabir and many of our elders would leave aside the month of Ramadan. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where did he spend the month of Ramadan? Most times he would be in the masjid in i'tikaf in Ramadan. Most of the times. 10 days, 20 days, sometimes the entire month of Ramadan. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, duty and his obligation was what? To give the dawah, to spread the message, to go and invite people towards the kalima, to do all of these things which are good. As a matter of fact, there were battles that were fought in the month of Ramadan. The Battle of Badr, the conquest of Makkah took place during the month of Ramadan. These things happened. It was necessary at the time, so they took place. But the main purpose of Ramadan was to worship your Lord, to be there. Now, shaitan might come to you, you know, during the month of Ramadan because of the little weakness in the body and all that. You're not going out too much. So shaitan tells you, well, you know, you could go and visit this person. Yeah, you could go and visit this person. You could visit the sick, right? Visit your parents. And these are good things. Understand what I am saying. There's nothing wrong with them. But during the month of Ramadan, you want to utilize the month of Ramadan for direct worship with Allah, to pray your salah, read your Quran, stand in prayer. Stand before your Allah and speak to your Allah directly. All the other good things are there, and the other 11 months of the year is there that you could do all the other good things, that you could go out and work and earn a living and study, and everything that you want to do, you could do in the other 11 months of the year. But the month of Ramadan is a month that is set. It is Allah's month, the month in which we gain proximity and closest and nearest to Allah. So my dear brothers, we went away on the point that to repent when we are young. Now, many a times there are people who we have acquaintances and we are close to what we call a sheikh and pious people and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that. That has a lot of benefit. But many a times people go with the wrong impression and they feel that if I am attached to a sheikh or I have a spiritual leader, then everything is good. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi explains to us an incident where a person came to him and asked advice. And the person came and he gave him the advice and all of that. And when the person was leaving, he said that, Maulana, you know, some of the light and the nur that you have in your chest, that if you could share that with me, you know, I would really feel good. So Maulana says, I don't know what you're speaking about. The only thing that my chest have right now is some coal, because I have the coal right now. If you want some of that, I don't mind sharing it with you. Right? So do not be carried away with the fact that because we are attached to someone who is spiritually elevated, you are attached to someone who is spiritually elevated, you feel that everything is okay with you. No. My dear brothers and sisters, we always have to be aware. We have our nafs inside of us. We have shaitan, who is our arch enemy, always there to tempt us and take us away from the straight path that is leading towards the Jannah. Maulana Rumi in his Mathnawi narrates an incident about a woodcutter who went out to cut some lumber and all of that, sticks and all of that for fire burning. And while he was collecting his lumber and all of that and the pieces of sticks for fire burning, a snake went in within the pieces of sticks. And then when he banded the lumber together and he banded the sticks together, the snake was squeezed a little and it fell unconscious. So the person didn't know, he didn't recognize the snake, he didn't see the snake. He came home and he rested down the sticks on the floor. When he opened it, he saw the snake, which appeared to be dead, because it was motionless. But then when he started the fire and he started to warm up his house, the snake got back conscious and it woke and it bit him and he died. So the people in the house, the other people in the house, they were very much astonished that here it is, a dead snake coming back to life and go on biting someone and killing him. Maulana Rumi, after explaining the incident, he says, similarly with the human being, our nafs, our lower base desires, our carnal desires inside of us, they become weak because of the blows that it receives from our spiritual exercises. So during the month of Ramadan, now you are fasting, you are praying your tahajjud salah, you are doing charity, you are doing good works, and as a result of that, the nafs becomes weak. But he says, do not become unaware. Your nafs is just like that snake that was in the pile of sticks, that it only temporarily became weak because of the spiritual exercises that you are doing now in the month of Ramadan. Do not give up your guard, because as soon as Ramadan finish, this nafs is going to gain back its full strength. It is going to gain back the full vigor again, and it is going to start to take you on the wrong path again. So do not become unaware of it. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal has created two deadly poisons. Allah Azza wa Jal created two deadly poisons. One in the form of shaitan, and the other in the form of our nafs, our carnal desires, our lower base desires that inside of us, that always encouraging us to do something wrong. These two poisons were created. But at the same time, Allah Zawajal also created for these two poisons, He created the antidotes. He created the antidotes. And the antidotes that He created, my dear brothers and sisters, is what we know as Tawbah and Istighfar. Tawbah and Istighfar. Istighfar, Tawbah, basically translating meaning repentance, and Istighfar, seeking Allah's forgiveness. So whenever you feel that you are in danger of the poisons that Allah created, whenever you feel that this poison is starting to take effect in your body, the poison of shaitan and the poison of the nafs, whenever you feel that it is starting to take effect on the body, then you start taking the antidote. Tawbah and Istighfar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. You're feeling temptations coming on. Shaitan is trying to induce you to do something wrong. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. You are being tempted to look at something that is evil. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. That I seek Allah's forgiveness. I seek my Rabb's forgiveness of every sin and I turn towards Him. I turn towards Him. I seek my, always, continuously. And this is what the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in the hadith. That he seek the forgiveness from his Lord 100 times daily, 70 times, continuously. Whenever we feel the temptation coming over our hearts, whenever we see something that is unlawful, and we are tempted to look and gaze and stare at it. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. Anytime we are tempted to eat something that is haram, anytime we are tempted to eat something that is mashkuk, and we have doubts about it. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. Turn to Allah. Start taking the antidote one time. Start taking the antibiotics one time. Do not wait until you commit the sin to start taking the antibiotics. No, immediately, while the temptation is there, while you are still being tempted in the initial stage, while the eyes and the ears and the senses are now perceiving the sin, start taking the antidote one time. You know, you feel a little sniffle, and you feel a little sneezing and cold. You say, okay, I want to take 2 Panadol multi-symptoms. Before the cold really come on strong, you're feeling a little tickling on the throat, you take 2 Panadol multi-symptoms to ward it off. Similarly, you don't wait until you become sick and you become very ill now and then you're going by the doctor and you have to get strong medicine and antibiotics and all that. No. Initially, you're feeling a little something, start taking your multi-symptoms one time. What happens? Inshallah, it would go away. With the permission of Allah, it is going to go away. Similarly, you feel the effects of sin. You feel the poison of shaitan. You feel the poison of the nafs starting to take effect on the body. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. Allah Azza wa Jal has given us tawbah and astaghfar as two antidotes, as two antibiotics to fight away the poisons of shaitan and fight away the poisons of nafs. But how much times for the day? How much times for the day do we really find ourselves saying, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. How much times for the day? My dear brothers and sisters, Maulana Taqi Usmani, in one of his travels, was traveling in South Africa in Cape Town, taking a tour around Cape Town, and they had stopped to pray Salah. And when he stopped to pray Salah, he saw a very beautiful plant. And he reached out to touch the plant. And the tour guide who was there shouted at him and said, no, don't touch that. And then he explained to him that this plant has a very deadly poison on the leaves. And as soon as you touch it, the poison starts to take effect on the body. Very beautiful plant. And then he went on to explain to Maulana Mufti Taqi Usmani that more surprising than this is the fact that just a little uphill, there is another plant just as beautiful that has the antidote for this. So if you touch this plant, and then you go and touch the other one that has the antidote, then the poison doesn't take effect. How amazing. How amazing. So my dear brothers and sisters, I was saying, similarly like us, as soon as we feel the poisons of our sins is increasing, As soon as we feel the poisons of our sins are increasing, we should start to try to counteract that with tawbah and with doing istighfar. Immediately. Do not wait for the month of Ramadan to come. Do not wait and say that, okay, look, tonight I'm going to do istighfar and I'm going to take my tasbih and start making astaghfar, astaghfirullah. No. Immediately, once you start to, you see something, you hear something, you think about something, start making astaghfar immediately. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal has placed in man this faculty of committing sin. And then he created him as a vicegerent and sent him on earth. Allah Azza wa Jal, he created that faculty of committing sin in us. The angels were not considered fit because they did not possess that faculty of committing sins. Allah Azza wa Jal then allowed Adam alayhi salam to err. We know the story. Adam alayhi salam was placed in heaven and he was told that he could eat of every tree except a particular tree. And shaitan induced him and encouraged him and he eventually erred. And then after he erred, he was very remorseful and very repentant and all that kind of thing. And then Allah Azza wa Jal taught him a few kalimas and a few words, which is mentioned in the Quran. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allah Azza wa Jal taught him these words and asked him to say it. It was very easy. It was very easy for Allah to say, I forgive you. Oh Adam, I forgive you. After seeing how remorseful Adam alayhi salam was, it was very easy for Allah to say, I forgive you. End of the story, forgiveness acquired. But Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to teach us something. He wanted to teach Adam alayhi salam something, and by extension, teach all human beings something. That do not feel that the world that you are going in, do not feel that life in this world that you are going in is going to be easy, and there would be no temptations and there would be no sin. No, don't feel it is like that. You are going to be tempted again and again and again while you are in this world. You are going to be led to commit sin again and again, and your nafs would be giving you the temptation all the time. And there are so many wrongs that are going on all around us. So Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to teach Adam alayhi salam that this world is not free of mishaps. You are going to err. You will try your best to stay away from something. You're trying your best, and yet still, sometimes you are going to make mistakes and you are going to err. There's going to be shaitan. There's going to be your nafs that is going to be inducing you to sin all the time. So you cannot live a clean and a contented life except when you do istighfar and tawbah. And that is why the dua was taught to Adam alayhi salam. So that we would learn the dua. And we would know the dua as well. And we would know to turn to Allah in repentance. My dear brothers and sisters, there are two words. Istighfar and tawbah. Two words. Istighfar meaning to seek forgiveness. And tawbah meaning basically repentance. The main thing is tawbah. Istighfar is only the road that we take to go towards tawbah. Istighfar is only the road that we take when we are going towards tawbah. As you would all know, tawbah has three elements in it. Tawbah has three elements in it. The first, three conditions for our tawbah to be correct. The first is that we have to feel ashamed. We have to have remorse that we have done something wrong. This is the very first thing. Understand well. We have to feel ashamed and we have to have that remorse that we have done something wrong. Many a times people do wrong things and you know what happened? They brag about it. They go back to their friends and their peers and they say, well, you know, I do so and so. I do so and so. I break away and I went so and so. Right? We brag about it. So, therefore, if at that time you say, oh Allah, forgive me, then there is no forgiveness. Why? Because the tawbah is not genuine. You are still feeling proud about the wrong that you have committed, the wrong that you have done. The second, next thing that we need to do, my dear brothers and sisters, for our tawbah to be correct, is that we have to immediately stop the sin without hesitation. Without hesitation, immediately stop the sin. Second condition, immediately stop the sin. One is that you feel and that remorsefulness in your heart that I have done something wrong. And the second thing, immediately stop the sin. Stop committing the sin. The third thing is that we need to make an azm and a firm resolve in our heart that I am not going to commit this sin again. I am not going to commit this sin again. These three conditions, if they are not met, then our tawbah is not complete. These three conditions, if they are not met, then our tawbah is not complete. And if we complete these three conditions, then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, then our slate is going to be rubbed clean again. He says, in a hadith narrated by Imam Ibn Majah, he says, At-ta'ibu min az-zambi kaman la zamba lahu. At-ta'ibu min az-zambi kaman la zamba lahu. That a person who makes tawbah of his sins is like a person who never sinned at all. In other words, the sin in the register is not scratched off, it is rubbed off. It is not scratched off. That you might still see some writing. No, it is rubbed off, it is erased. You know, once a teacher was telling a student, he said, there's nothing wrong in making mistakes. There's nothing wrong in making mistakes. Right? You could make, to her as human, you could make mistakes. But anytime they're talking about schoolwork. But anytime you find that the eraser is finishing faster than the pencil, then something wrong. When you find the eraser finishing faster, that means you're making too much mistakes. On the contrary, with Allah Zawajal, the eraser of Allah is bigger than the pencil. With Allah Zawajal, the eraser is bigger with the pencil, and the servant comes and says, "Oh Allah, I have sinned, forgive me." Allah Zawajal says, "My servant has turned to me in repentance and he is remorseful, I forgive him." And for the second time, the servant comes again and he says, "Oh Allah, I have sinned. Oh Allah, forgive me. I'm remorseful. Oh Allah, forgive me." Allah turns to the servant again and says, "Look at my servant. My servant is begging. He knows that I am his Rabb. He knows that no one can forgive except me. He's asking me for mercy. I forgive him." And the servant comes again after a little while and says, "Oh Allah, I have sinned myself again. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me." Allah turns to the servant this time and he says, "Do whatever you want." Understand that? Do whatever you want. Wala ubali, and I don't care. You do anything that you want. Why? Because the servant has developed the characteristic of any time he committed a sin, he made tawbah. Understand the hadith? Any time he committed the sin, he made tawbah immediately. So Allah said, "You do anything you want. You do anything you want." Why? Because he knows that this servant of his, anytime he erred, anytime anything wrong crosses his mind, he's definitely going to make tawbah. He's going to turn to Allah in repentance. Allah says, "You do what you want. You do anything you want." Right? You come to me with the ocean full of sins, I would meet you with an ocean full of forgiveness. You come to me with the earth full of sins, the distance between the heavens and the earth full of sins, I would meet you with the distance of the heavens and the earth full with mercy. That is Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is Allah Azza wa Jalla. The mu'min and the believer, the Muslim, the last Muslim to enter the Jannah, the last Muslim. He comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla after being roasted in the fire. He comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Last one, the very last one. He comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, "Oh Allah, you know the fire, yes. I just want to come out." So Allah takes him out. "Me, I want nothing again. Absolutely nothing." But then after some time, he says, "Oh Allah, you know, if you could just take me close to the Jannah, so at least I could see the Jannah. Nothing again, not going to ask you anything again." And after Allah takes him there, after a little while, he says, "Oh Allah, just put me on the inside of the Jannah. Me, I want a big garden, and not, you know, just put me on the inside. I cool, just on the inside. I just watching people and think, I okay. You understand? I don't want nothing again. Me asking for nothing again after that, just to go on the inside." That's human nature. That's human nature. Right, human nature. You give your son $1 today. Say, "Dad, you know, I want to buy a pair of shoes. I need this. Me want nothing again after that." Next week they come back with a nothing again. Me want nothing again. But they have something. Human by nature. So Allah Azza wa Jal puts him in the Jannah. And as far as his eyes could see, Allah Azza wa Jal says, the person who was most sinful. Allah asked him for wish. Wish for whatever you want. Anything you want, let me know. Anything. And he asked until he checked out the list and list run out. Allah said, "But you forget to ask for such and such." Yeah, I forget, but that too. Everything. Anything that he wants. Right? Anything that he wants. Right? And then Allah Zawajal gives him, after that Allah Zawajal gives him, he says that once you desire everything, you want anything again, anything, no, nothing again. Then Allah multiplies that 10 times for him. 10 times. All that he desired and asked for, 10 times Allah multiplies that for him. The other servant comes before Allah in the day of judgment. And Allah exchanges all his evil deeds with good deeds. Right? Confession, he comes before Allah. What it is you did wrong? Allah, I did this. Right? All of these are the wrong things that I did. Comes before Allah to confess, I did this wrong. And Allah Zawajal, because of the genuineness of the confession and all, Allah Zawajal says that all the wrong deeds that you have performed, I now change them to good deeds for you. Say, but you know what, you forget this and this and this. If you want to forget, yeah, I have these two. Human by nature, we are like that. We are going to err. We are going to commit sins. We are going to be tempted. And that is why Allah created the paradise for us. The angels are not fit for paradise. If Allah wanted to create someone who would not sin, then there's no need to create mankind. The angels were there. They would not commit any sin. They are not going to commit any sin. The thought of sin doesn't even cross over their minds. My dear brothers and sisters, it is difficult at times for a person. Sometimes, you know, we make tawbah. Sometimes we do istighfar and beg Allah for forgiveness. But sometimes it is difficult. We find this one sin sticking to us that we just cannot get rid of. We cannot do tawbah, because if we are still committing the sin, we could do istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. But we cannot do tawbah because we are committing the sin. And the condition for tawbah is you must stop the sin immediately, without hesitation. So a person now working in the bank, all the income of the bank now is riba and interest, and this is the only work that he has. So what does he do? Imam Ghazali writes and he says that if it is that you have a sin that is sticking with you, and for some reason or the other you cannot let go, for some reason or the other, whatever is the reason, you still have to continue making astaghfar. He says and he writes that if it is a person is in a situation where he cannot give up a particular sin, he done everything else. Together with working in the bank, you know, he's praying all his salah, he's fasting, he performed his hajj, he's doing everything, he's paying his zakat, he's doing everything else. But this one thing is sticking with him and he cannot give up. He says that first, you must start sending out your resumes other places where you could get a next work. In other words, try to find another work. Do not give up your work. Do not now leave it out now and say that, okay, look, I've gone on the breadline and you're now sitting under the shed, under the tent. No. He says what you do is you start sending out your resumes, genuinely send out your resumes to different organizations. Try to find another work, a halal work, inshallah. And then together with that, 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day, 1,000,000 times a day, we keep making astaghfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. And he says that inshallah, sooner than later, Allah is going to open a way for you. So Allah is going to open a way for you. Because whoever fears Allah, whoever develops the taqwa, here it is, he is remorseful. He knows that he is doing something wrong. But for some reason or the other, he just cannot give up. We all have our faults like that. It is just sticking with us. And it is difficult for us to give up. What we do? We send out our resume. Start looking for another work. And daily make astaghfar. Make astaghfar. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Then inshallah, Allah is going to open a way for you. Because anyone who does seek Allah's forgiveness, then out of every difficulty, out of every tight situation, Allah is going to open a way for him. And Allah is going to feed him from whence he has no expectation. Allah is going to provide risk for him. My dear brothers and sisters, we are in the month of Allah's mercy. Right? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in hadith, فَإِنَّ الشَّقِيَّ مَنْ هَرُمَ فِيهَا رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ, that the wretched person, the most unfortunate person, is that person who is deprived of Allah's mercy in this month of Ramadan. Allah allowed us to live to see the month of Ramadan. And no matter, the blessings of the month of Ramadan are so much. The nafil deed is increased. The fard deed that we do is increased. The nafil deed we are rewarded as though it is a fard. The fard deed we are rewarded for 70 fard. 71. Allah, every night announcement is made from the heavens. Who is there? Who is there that has a need that we could look at it? Who is there asking for something that they may be granted? The questions are being asked. Who wants to be forgiven that they may be forgiven? As long as the person does not break his fast, or even at the time of iftar, duas are answered. All the time, duas are answered. This is a month to attract the mercy of Allah. And yet still, if we cannot gain the mercy and the rahmat of Allah in this month, then we are very unfortunate. My dear brothers and sisters, we have a few days left in this month of Ramadan. 3/4 of the month of Ramadan has gone by. The preparations for Eid started a long time ago. The preparations for Eid and the celebration started a long time ago. Nothing is wrong with that. What about the preparation for the hereafter that is more important? How much time did we spend making istighfar, making tawbah, begging from Allah, oh Allah, forgive our sins, oh Allah, forgive our sins, forgive our children, forgive our parents, forgive our aunts and our uncles, our grandparents, oh Allah, forgive the ummah is going astray, begging for forgiveness. Sometimes we don't know what to even ask. We don't even know how to make the dua. Oh Allah, whatever the Rasul requested, oh Allah, you bless us with it in this month. Whatever he asked to be saved from, you save it from us in this month of Ramadan. My dear brothers and sisters, for the few days that we have left, the 1/4 of the month that is left, you know, so much time we spend, we could go to the malls for the genuine reason of doing what? Shopping for gifts for my friends and my children. It's a good act. It's a good act. Might also be considered as ibadah. Right? Why? But we spend. Why? Because we have a few dollars in our pockets. No, we cannot buy this. No, let us go in a next mall and look for something. Let us go in a next mall and look for something. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, every weekend, every afternoon we are there looking for something. How much time are we spending with our Quran? How much time that we are so tired we cannot now get up in the morning to say 2 rakats of Tahajjud Salah. A Salah that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never missed. Never missed. My dear brothers and sisters, it is time to turn towards Allah. Few days left. Turn towards Allah. Give up. Give up. Whatever we could give up from the worldly things, or whatever time we could spare, give it up. Give it up. Spend. Turn towards Allah. And that is the whole purpose of i'tikaf. We have the night of Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. The night of power. So many blessings to be attained. And we don't even have the ability to stay up for an hour, half an hour, to beg from Allah, to raise our hands before Allah, go down in sijda and beg from Allah. Wasjud waqtarib. Go down in sijda and draw close and draw near to Allah. This is what we have to be doing for the last few days in Ramadan that is left. May Allah Azawajal give you and may he give me the guidance and the tawfiq and all our family and the whole ummah.